Start meditating now. My name is Barry Long. I am here to teach you meditation. I'm assuming you've not meditated before, but if you have, I'm sure you'll find much that is helpful in what follows. Meditation is discovering what you are now, not what you have been or think you are, but the truth of yourself. I will teach you as you listen, but you must listen with your whole attention. I speak to the part of you that is most true and most real. This tape will help you to enter meditation in stages, gradually going deeper. I shall explain why you need to meditate. Then I'll tell you a little about the process so you'll understand what you're endeavoring to do. In a few minutes' time, we will start meditating with me leading you into it step by step. Occasionally, we shall pause for a moment as we continue the meditation in silence. We shall cover a lot of ground in the next hour or so. Meditation is a process of self-unfoldment and can't be rushed. It must be actually done, bit by bit. Feel free to stop the tape from time to time and continue your meditation in silence. Play the tape over and over. You'll be surprised how often you hear something new relevant to your advancing state of development. Use what I say as often as you're able. The more attention you give, the more you'll be able to enter the state of meditation with me. Why do you need to meditate? To know yourself. Why do you need to know yourself? Because what you are at present, what you think you are, is not yourself. That's why you, and most people, are never really content for long. You know unconsciously you are not yourself. Consequently, you often feel insecure, uncertain, and even afraid. Inside you is a wonderful, helpful, loving, and uniquely creative being. You know it, at least sometimes. But that loving, creative you is very difficult to externalize and bring into the world. Too often your finest intentions and feelings are misinterpreted and misunderstood. So again you become discontented and unhappy with yourself. We start off life with such splendid dreams and intentions. We're all innocent to begin with. Do we really lose that innocence? No. We just allow it to become covered over. The world has a way of making the worst out of each of us, turning us into what we once were not. We gather the world. Layer by layer, we silt ourselves up and are enclosed by a subtle and insidious accretion. It's this dark, false side of ourselves we've allowed to build up unconsciously over the years that is the trouble. This meditation is the tunnel back through that gloom. And the light at the end of the tunnel that's pulling you on, and that brought you to this moment, is your true self, the real person you've become separated from. Meditation, the way I teach it, is the way to discover the truth of yourself. If you don't want to know the truth by starting to face up to yourself, starting to know yourself as you really are, you are wasting your time. But if you are searching for something that's been missing from your life, something indefinable, I suggest you are now on the way to finding it. Meditation is the art of entering your own unconscious. Your unconscious, where your true self lies, is inside your body. It is a place of extraordinary stillness and creativity. When you reach it, and many times on the way, you will know that learning to meditate was the most important move you ever made. Everything you are is inside your body. But penetrating to the level of the unconscious is not that easy, because the unconscious is three levels down. If you imagine an underground car park, the top level, street level, is the conscious, where you are now. Second level is the subconscious, where all your thoughts come from. And third level is the unconscious. So going down, you have to pass through the subconscious to get to the unconscious. And the subconscious, which is a sort of guardian to the lower level, is going to do all it can to deflect and distract you by throwing up a screen of thoughts. To meditate successfully, all unnecessary thinking eventually has to stop. By unnecessary thinking, I mean aimless use of the memory. For example, when you're sitting doing nothing, the mind tends to wander all over the place. Not because you need to think about those particular topics, but because the mind, when not concentrated, has got into the wandering habit, and you probably never thought to try to stop it. Stopping thinking is a gradual process and not an easy one. But you can make a start now towards it. Each time you meditate, accept that for the short period you are meditating, not one thought that comes into your mind, no matter how pressing, is valid. You don't have to think about your worldly affairs now. Paying the rent, posting a letter, or what train you've got to catch. If you feel you do, stop for a while, think about it, and then come back. Finally, however, you will have to master the subtle unconscious thinker which has been controlling your mind for so long without your realizing it. And when you do, you'll immediately sail through into the amazing stillness and wideness of the unconscious, which is your own true self. If you're thinking or wanting to argue that it's impossible to stop thinking, please don't. It has been said to me so many times before. And so many times have I heard and seen the amazement of people who started out just like you and burst suddenly into that incredible stillness and space within themselves. For yourself, you should know that I have penetrated the unconscious to its deepest level. I am in the unconscious now. If I weren't there, I would be giving you second-hand information and instructions I'd picked up from someone else, and not be guiding you into it. For in this tape, I am not just informing you of the techniques of meditation. Using the energy of my discovered unconscious, I am actually taking you down at this moment into yourself, where you have never consciously been before. You will understand this more and more as you continue to listen and by regular meditation go deeper into yourself. Before we actually start meditating, let us look at the resources at our disposal. First, there is your body. That is the part you are going to enter. Then you have this. Look at your hand. What you are using to look with is your attention. Your attention is the other part of you, the instrument for entering the body. Where your attention is at any time is where you are as a perceiving individual. For 99.9% of our lives, our attention is centered on the external reality, the world. That is, it is going out of our body, away from the inner reality. By meditating, we are deliberately attempting to break down that imbalance in ourselves. We are endeavoring to turn our attention inward, into the body where the subconscious and deeper unconscious realities are located. These have been greatly neglected, and that neglect shows in man's lopsided and unsatisfying materialistic view of life and his preoccupation with progress that is mostly all external and unrelated to his inner self. After millions of evolutionary years of focusing on the external world, we are going to be kicking a monolithic habit. So don't be discouraged if thoughts keep distracting your attention. However, even in the early stages, you'll get some brief moments of stillness and thoughtlessness, and that will convince you that what you are attempting is well worthwhile. Each time discursive thought stops, you'll feel more yourself, more steady, more in control. It's important to remember that if you do feel you've had an unusual inner experience, or for an instant that the mind did stop, not to doubt it. It will be true, but you mustn't think about it. Just accept it. And it will happen again and again, with a little more conviction each time. So let's start meditating now. First, sit erect, feet together on the floor unless you're accustomed to sitting cross-legged Eastern style. Don't loll, you're likely to go to sleep. Remember, we go to sleep each night by withdrawing into our subconscious, and any attempt to enter it consciously as we are doing now is likely to be taken by the body as a command to go to sleep. So you're sitting up straight. Now close your eyes. You're doing this to stop going out of your eyes. We want you, your attention, inside. So we close the main portholes of escape. I would ask you to close your ears too, if that were possible. But I'll have more to say about that later. So you're sitting upright with your eyes closed. Now you've got to take some breaths, special kind of breaths. Don't do anything yet. When I tell you, I want you to breathe out first and empty your lungs. In this meditation, you don't breathe in on old air. And then I want you to breathe in by filling your tummy with air, or what appears to be your tummy. This is diaphragmic breathing. Babies breathe this way naturally. Let me show you first. Keep your eyes closed. I will exaggerate the sound so you can follow me. First, I breathe out slowly. Now I breathe in. As slowly as I can. I do not use my chest. I fill my tummy. As soon as the chest starts to rise, I stop. I now hold the breath for a few seconds, and then I breathe out as slowly as I can. Each time before beginning meditation, take 3 of these breaths as rhythmically as possible. Try a practice one now on your own. Emptying the lungs first, breathing into the tummy without letting the chest rise, holding it, and then breathing slowly out. On the in-breath, when we do it together, I would like you to do something else. When you've filled your lungs and are holding your breath, push the air down using the muscles of the back and tummy. This is similar to how women bear down in childbirth. Try a practice breath and push down now. Don't use your chest to breathe in. At first, you might find you can't hold your breath very long, but that will improve, because what you're doing in filling the tummy and bearing down is opening up the lower part of your lungs. This area normally gets very little aeration. You are utilizing more lung area, revitalizing your lungs as a whole. This will help your entire respiratory system. At the same time, you'll be oxygenating your blood. The extra oxygen makes some people feel a bit dizzy sometimes. I emphasize that you must not distress your body in any of this. No forcing, no overdoing. Moderation is best. The effect on your meditation of breathing like this is to quieten the body. The body, through the mind, tends to get tense in any situation in which something new or difficult is being tackled. You breathe more quickly and shallowly, leaving yourself short of air and your blood short of oxygen. The result is restlessness of mind and body, and the subconscious starts furiously throwing up thoughts, giving you no chance of getting into yourself. Now together, let's try the first breath, taking the timing from me. Breathe out, emptying the lungs. Now breathe in. As the chest starts to rise, stop. Hold it. Now, still holding the breath, push down and move the air around for 3 or 4 seconds, and then release it as slowly as you can. Once you get used to this on your own, you can hold the air longer, but not so as to overdo it and distress your body. Let's do a couple more. Breathe out first. In. Stop as the chest begins to rise. Hold. Push down. Use your tummy muscles to push the air around. Now release, breathing out as slowly as you can. Again, once more. Out. In. Slowly. Hold. Push down. Around. Out. Slowly. I shall leave it to you while we're meditating now to breathe from the diaphragm as often as you need to. That should be every 4 to 5 minutes to start with. The difficulty is remembering. Distraction due to thinking is a sure sign that you need some deep breaths. So you're sitting erect, eyes closed, and you've breathed. Now give me your attention. I snap my fingers. Your attention immediately goes to the sound. It is that attention, your attention, the same attention you used to look at your hand earlier, that you perceive with. Now I want you to put that attention within you. Center it at the point between the eyebrows. Take your time. Relax. You're looking into the back of the eyelids and up a bit. Found it? As you get settled, you become aware of a grainy mass of black and light pinpoints. Take your time. Relax. Keep your mind centered on that point between the eyebrows. If you're a natural meditator, your attention will lock in there like a key, and you'll feel an instant rightness or release of tension. But most of us are not natural meditators, and we have to work a bit harder to get going. So remember to always start with that point between the eyebrows. Gather yourself there. If you're not able to find it yet, don't worry. You will with practice. Next, direct your attention onto the energy inside your hands. I repeat, inside your hands. What do you feel? Try to avoid visualizing external hands. Perceive the energy of the hands from within. What does it feel like? A slight tingling, right? What you could describe as a mild form of pins and needles? Got it? Take your time. Relax. Take a diaphragmic breath, breathing out and inhaling slowly. In the same way as you felt the energy in your hands, we are now going to go around your body with your attention. Start with the lips. These are a very sensitive part of the body, and we don't have to stimulate them with kissing to put the energy there. It's always there. Feel it? Very fine, isn't it? While you're focusing on the lips, I want you to do something else. Deliberately lift the corners of your mouth as though you were about to smile, a sort of Mona Lisa smile. And try to keep it there. This is very important. People, when they meditate, tend to look unduly serious, and a bit down in the mouth. Perhaps it's the feeling of concentration that does it. But rightly done, meditation is a joyous, relaxing and restoring activity. By lifting your lips a little, you actually set in motion the lighter energy in your face. This very fine energy tends to rise up naturally towards the eyes. And it is this which makes a real smile. And as we all know, a smile is a lightening of the attention, or tension. Next, focus the attention on the tip of the nose. There's distinct feeling there. Feel it? A tingling? A pulsing? You name it for yourself. You see? You're starting to come alive already. Now feel your feet. Keep the corners of the lips up. Toes. Ankles. Are you getting the idea? Put the attention on the knees. The small of the back. Shoulders. Back of the head. You are developing another sense, an inner sense. Even your tongue is alive with its own special feeling. Feel it? I call this inner way of perceiving apperception. That is to distinguish it from normal perception, which uses the external senses. You must familiarize yourself apperceptively with your body as often as you can remember to do it. Don't wait until you're sitting in meditation. This is something you can practice at any time of the day. Normally, we apperceive only when we have a pain. Pain is not just a warning device, but an attempt by the organism to draw our attention inward. But man has lost the knack of using pain in this constructive way. The next step in your meditation is to learn to release the tension inside your body. First, I'm going to demonstrate in your experience the cause of most of that tension. Open your eyes and look at something. You'd probably say that the way you are looking at that object now is pretty normal. Well, if that's normal, you're unsuspectingly building up a lot of tension. Tomorrow's headache, irritability, or restlessness. I want you to see for yourself just how much unnecessary energy is going out through your eyes. Keeping your eyes open, pull back from behind the eyes. Withdraw the effort. the concentrated attention of looking. Smile. That will help. Just the corners of the mouth, though. Relax your eyes. Do you feel the difference? You are endeavoring to take the tension out of looking. Pull back until you can see out of the corners of your eyes as well as ahead. Look peripherally. Blink, and blink regularly. That will help you to cut off the output and to pull back. You now have a wider, more relaxed vision. You are seeing without looking. Now try pulling back from your ears, relaxing the effort you are using to hear. The same principle applies as to the eyes. You release the strain. This wasteful expenditure of some of your finest energy through trying to see or trying to hear while already seeing or listening, this waste of energy goes on almost continuously. The problem is that we humans have got into the habit of projecting ourselves out through our eyes, ears, and skin, and to a less discernible degree through the other senses. The senses were evolved to receive information, not to project it. Part of your meditation is to reverse this habit of self-projection. And of course, the energy you save is the very energy you need to go within. So every time you can think of it during the day, pull back from the eyes and see without looking. Listen without needing to hear. In fact, be without trying to be. Make this the first step towards taking the trying out of your life. When you give up trying, you don't stop seeing, hearing, feeling, being, or doing. You just perform less wearyingly and more as nature intended. So let's see how far we've got. Check your sitting position. Are you erect? Look at your breathing. Do you need a deep breath or two? Gather yourself in. Pull back from the eyes, the ears, all over. The corners of the lips up. Gather yourself at the point between the eyebrows. Is your attention there? Now to release some of the tension that has gathered in other parts of your body. Where do you feel tense, strained? What parts of your body are uptight? With your eyes closed, look around inside. It might be that you feel something like a band of energy around your head, or a weight across your shoulders. You are looking for inner tension. Keep that slight smile on your lips. Any tension apperceived has to be released by dropping it down, letting it fall into your tummy, the lower abdomen. This is the natural garbage pit of the body. Everything not needed by the organism ends up here, where it can be dealt with and dissolved and that should include stress consciously faced up to as we are doing now. So any tension you detect, you allow to drop down towards the abdomen. You drop it down by surrendering it, by giving it up, not holding on to it a moment longer. You don't want it, do you? So give it up. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? What you are endeavoring to do is to learn the simple art of not holding on to your own body with your unconscious attention. Unconscious attention is tension. As soon as you make the unconscious attention conscious, the tension around it dissolves and disappears. Most people are holding onto their body like grim death, with unconscious fingers of tension. To help you to give it up, to learn to surrender this fearful hold you have on yourself, I'm going to give you a new experience of the inside of your body. I suggest you repeat it each time you meditate, after you've completed the other exercises. Close your eyes now and experience what I'm describing. You are inside a well. It is dark, but not unpleasant. You are supporting yourself by pushing out against the sides of the well. You don't know how deep the well is, only that you are not at the bottom. You can feel the tension now of holding on. Feel it? Why are you holding on? And what are you holding on to? It's only yourself, the well of yourself. Come on, let go a little. Relax. Slip down into the darkness, into the unknown. As you get used to it, it's quite pleasant. Isn't it? The well is very, very deep. It is your depth. As that depth, you are unfathomable when you are not holding on. Don't be anxious about slipping down further than you can handle at any time. You can relax completely because your tension not only keeps you from the depths of yourself, but also protects you from dropping down too quickly. Trust yourself. Give up. Surrender. Let go. This is a most important technique and exercise. And I remind you to start each meditation with it, after you've been around the body with your attention. How will you know when you reach the bottom of the well? There'll be no mistaking this rare experience of yourself when it happens. But an indication that you are approaching it is when you feel the fine pins and needles sensation of your tummy, as though it were your whole body. The sensation of any other part of the body vanishes, and all you feel is the one sensation, as though you didn't have a body at all. Now, before going any further, give yourself a little time to sit in silence. Commit yourself to do nothing but this. Check your posture, your breathing, Be still. Gather your attention in. Keep it on the inside of the body. Don't think. Start meditating now. Sometimes, your heartbeat and breathing may distract and prevent you from sinking down the well. Though you endeavor to go deeper, the mind fixes itself on the heart or the breathing, and you remain stuck there until it tires of it. Getting past these two, especially the heartbeat, which often becomes very noticeable when you're trying to get to sleep at night, depends a good deal on overcoming the mind's habitual curiosity. The mind is always looking for something inside or outside to latch onto. Which brings us to the next set of exercises. Meditation is not just a matter of entering your body. That's only half of it. The other half involves becoming more conscious of the way you perform and react to the world. Take the habit of useless curiosity. Say you are walking down the street and someone behind shouts in a loud voice. Everyone looks around. Why? Habit or curiosity? Did you really think the shout was for you? No. You just turned around without being aware of what you were doing. And if you turned out of curiosity, why did you need to know what was going on? Similarly, if there is an accident and a curious crowd is gathering, why should you want to join in to witness or know about another's misfortune? By participating in this so-called harmless curiosity, you give the mind the power to distract you. Another helpful exercise is to refuse to count the chimes of a clock while still hearing them. The mind, you will notice, automatically counts the strikes. Also, when people are conversing around you and you're not involved, such as in a doctor's waiting room or a bus, try letting the words pass through your head without translating them. This all helps to give you mind control. We are all creatures of habit. But some habits are more a useless waste of energy than others. And it's those we want to rid ourselves of by intelligent observation, so we can use the energy more effectively to find ourselves. From this moment on, you've got to start being more aware of your involuntary physical actions and to cease the ones you obviously don't need. You have to name them for yourself. But I would suggest you are wasting energy habitually when you allow your fingers to drum on the table or desk, when you fiddle with anything, tap your foot, talk aimlessly, make phone calls that have no real purpose, and so on. In short, endeavor to stay aware. You'll soon discover plenty of ground for habit breaking. Things we accept in ourselves as harmless or natural, because we haven't looked at them intelligently, are often behind our negative moods and depressions. Take worry, for instance. Nothing is more punishing and destructive than worry. Yet worry is only another name for undisciplined thinking. Worry is the penalty for imagining that thinking is harmless. Let me explain, for this is crucial to successful meditation as well as to your new peace of mind. To worry is to be unable to stop thinking about a matter that's disturbing you. If you could stop thinking about it, you wouldn't be worried. You might still feel a kind of background heaviness or dull ache. But the pain behind the worry only recurs when you touch it with thinking, by remembering it. The question is, of course, how can you possibly stop thinking when you're worried? Well, first you've got to make the effort to give up thinking when you're not worried. And this is what you do. From now, you resolve not to think about what you did yesterday, or even 5 minutes ago, what you said, where you went, what you saw, what someone else said. In other words, you give up thinking about the past as a self-amusement. You can't expect to stop thinking in bad times, which is worry, if you allow your mind the same thinking freedom in good times. Even to lie in bed thinking about a movie or play you've just seen, or a lovely day out with a friend, is to encourage the mind to do precisely the same thing when next you have a problem, and to keep you awake with worry. So no more daydreaming or thinking about the good times or the bad times. It means only that you'll be living more in the present. And what's wrong with that? How often and for how long should you meditate? At least twice a day, and for at least 15 minutes a sitting. Preferably, before you go to work and when you come home. But you'll gradually get into a routine of your own, although be careful it doesn't become another habit. Vary the times. And there's no reason, if you have the time, why you shouldn't sit and meditate 6 times a day for as long as you like. The important thing is not to put it off. And remember, just as important as sitting is remembering to practice the other techniques such as habit breaking and not thinking about the past. Although it will take time learning to apply all the techniques of this meditation, a period of years if necessary, each stage can be mastered in your own time, and then you can move on to the next stage. A sense of urgency is valuable, but there should be no sense of rush. Gradually, meditation will become a total life activity. This is possible because meditation puts you back in contact with life. Let me explain. People confuse life with living. But life and living are two different things. Living is the world. Life is the earth. Living is the superstructure that we, as humanity, have erected on life, on ourselves. Living is hard. At its best, not easy. Living is trying to cope with the world, an impossibility. So we all compromise to get by. Living is compromise, settling for the best you think you can obtain. Life, on the other hand, is beautiful. Life begins with nature and ourselves. You don't have to compromise with life. It's just there, in you and around you. You are only unhappy when you're trying to contend with living. You don't have to compromise or make allowances to hear the birds, to see the beauty of the trees, the sky, the grass, the animals around you. You just have to be alive. Total life is love. But unfortunately, love at present is only a very small part of living. When you're in love, you're not worried about what the world might or might not do to you. You couldn't care less. While you are in love, you are in contact with life and you are alive. Life is all that is beautiful and natural. The trouble is we've got into the habit of thinking that living is natural. Living is not natural. That's what makes it so darn difficult. I suggest now that you take 3 rhythmic deep breaths to your own timing, and we will start meditating again. I will lead you into meditation using all the main techniques in the order I have given them to you. This will help you to remember them when you're meditating alone. So you have taken your breaths. You're sitting upright, eyes closed, with the corners of your mouth raised in a slight smile. Put the attention on the point between the eyebrows. See the grainy blackness and gather yourself there. Relax. Now move the attention down to the hands, feeling the energy inside them, not visualizing them. Don't move the attention until you have a good apperception of the energy in the hands. Take your time. Now the lips. Make sure the corners are up. Feel the energy, the fine tingling. Next, the nose. The feet. Keep smiling. Toes. Ankles. Relax. Take your time. Make sure you feel the energy in each part before going on. The knees. The back. Shoulders. The shoulders, of course, are one of the easiest places to feel tension, because we all tend to store tension there. When you feel tension in the shoulders or anywhere, remember to let it go, to allow it to drop down towards the pit of the stomach. As you go still, you will actually feel the tension draining down and the shoulders settling into a more relaxed and natural position. Now finally, put the attention on the back of the head. Here you may also feel some tension or tightness that has risen up from the shoulders. Drop it down. Let it drain into the stomach. Every time you have a row or argument, you may have noticed that the emotion of it lingers in your stomach below the solar plexus. The emotion is like a continuation of the dispute inside you, and it forces you to think over and over all that was said, as well as a lot that wasn't and you'd wished you'd said. Frequently, the emotion makes you fabricate a completely new and favorable dialogue with which you tease and entertain yourself. From now on, however, as a serious student of this meditation, you have to make more constructive use of such situations. They have to be treated as opportunities to get to know yourself better, to clear out the nonsense, and to go deeper down into the unconscious. This is what you do, and this is a most important exercise. Next time you have a row, you resist as much as possible the urge to think about what happened. By thinking, unless it is necessary to help you to take action, you are merely playing emotional games, indulging yourself. Unless you intend to act, there is no excuse whatever for thinking, and certainly not for brooding. So next time you have a row, get on your own. Sit down if you can. Treat it as a meditation. Gather yourself between the eyebrows. Take several deep, long, diaphragmic breaths. They are crucial on these occasions. Center your attention on the emotion in your stomach. This will help to keep the mind occupied, as it will be straining to think. Hold the emotion by examining the sensation of it, just as you have learned to hold and identify the tingling sensation in the other parts of your body. Each time you catch yourself thinking, start again. Take more deep breaths. Don't allow the chest to rise. And go straight back to the emotion in your stomach. Don't think. Hold the emotion. Enter it. Be the emotion. Suffer it. Be the pain. Groan if it helps. But don't try to escape it by thinking. Don't walk around. Don't move. Bear it as long as you can. You have to rid yourself of this alien thing by confronting it, burning it out of you. If you think about it, talk about it, move because of it, you are running from it, running from the discomfort and pain. Don't be fooled. It is using you. You can get rid of it this way, forever. If you don't face up to it now, as most people don't, it will be back tomorrow, next month, or next year to torment and agonize you again. Only then it will have joined up with all your other unresolved emotional conflicts and will make you feel more wretched and miserable. It's because we don't face up to emotions that we accumulate all negative feelings, as well as those deadening dark layers of false self I mentioned at the beginning. After each emotional blow, we deaden or desensitize part of ourselves so we won't feel the pain as severely next time. And of course, the self-protective crust that builds up has the side effect of making us feel enclosed and cut off from the vibrance of life. So you can see how important it is to face up to our emotions. By using the attention to hold the sensation of the emotion, you gradually dissolve the emotion. By refusing to think, you actually starve it, deny it life. Think, and you immediately revive it. Isn't that true? Next time you've got an emotional crisis on your hands, you check. It hurts only when you remember it by thinking about it. Are you in meditation? Place your attention on the stomach area. What do you feel? Is there a disturbance there? Something distracting you? If so, it's a relationship to something outside yourself. Something in the past? Something in the future? A demand made on you by others or by yourself? Place your attention upon it. Now, continue in meditation. After a few moments of silence, we shall go on to another stage. After you've had some success at handling your emotions, the next exercise follows almost naturally. But it will only work for you after you've made meditation or the search for truth a high priority in your life. Here is the exercise. There are now, locked up inside of you, as in a jail, a number of people. They are your psychological prisoners. Although a great deal of trouble to you, you are afraid to let them go. These are people you've been attached to, where emotion has entered the relationship. Mother, father, boss, wife, husband, children, former lovers, old school chums and the like. Whether alive or dead, still in contact or apparently forgotten, they live on in you as emotional entities. If you see, think, or dream about one of them, depending on the intensity of the relationship, up pops the old energy of the person or situation, and you are emotionally disturbed again. These emotions are searingly real in their effect on you, and yet they are phantoms. You have to release these emotional prisoners. This is what you do. Without waiting for crossed relationships to grapple with, sit in meditation in the ordinary way. Take some breaths. Lift the corners of the lips. Put the attention on the abdomen. Your specific intention is to free anyone, any negative feeling against another, you might have locked up inside of you as a result of past ignorance or attitude. For example, it might be the feeling that your mother or father failed you at some time in your life. Let the person, the feeling, go. Let's say it's your father. Smile. Forgive him. With love, not necessarily with love for him, but just love or goodwill. See that all you've been holding on to was your own self-centered expectation of what a father should be. If he was not a good father, so what? It's all behind you, and all the more reason not to hold on to him. The truth is, he owed you nothing that he did not give. He gave what he could, all that his nature and conditioning allowed, just as you give. Any failure or denial was only life. Your life at that time, which you can now let go of. Liberate anyone. Any feeling inside of resentment or grudge towards another. Name the person. Free them of any further demands from you. Say, I free you in love from any debt or blame I may have been holding over you. You owe me nothing. If it helps, visualize bars being dissolved in your stomach and every emotion you ever harbored regarding others flying out of your body like shadows, going where they may, free at last of your holding and concealing. Any emotional entities you find trying to stay around, shoo away, saying to yourself, be free, be gone. There is nowhere left here for you to hide. I am empty, emptied. Do all this with a sense of love, of giving. Imagine yourself returning all that you ever held back and becoming more and more emptied and transparent. By giving and loving in this way, you are surrendering your old self, your old deadening emotional layers. You are being made new, fresh, alive. Now continue in meditation, holding the energy of what I have just said, the idea that you are being made new. You must get accustomed to using the inner feeling of your body to tell you what is going on in you at any moment. No more waiting for a pain or twinge like most people do to discover you've got a thriving inner reality. Your body within is a very sensitive receiving apparatus. Only you've got to learn how to get in there and read it. Anytime you feel a tightness or heaviness in your stomach, you must not ignore it. It means something. You must apperceive what relationship is causing it and confront it. Apart from physical causes, you will always find a crossed relationship with someone or something behind stomach tension and agitation. Search out the relationship. Be honest. Don't cover up. Name it to yourself. Once you know the origin of an emotion, you feel less disturbed, less in the dark. And often you'll then see it to be so trivial that the disturbance just disappears. Now I want to tell you about the pygmy. I am not referring in any way to the pygmies of Africa. The pygmy I'm talking about lives in each one of us, is a little man or woman, a dwarfish and ugly part of each of us. It is a cunningly intelligent entity, stunted, tricky, shifty, knowing. If I call him he and you are a woman, you must call him she. The pygmy is no stranger to you. You might feel it's something I've dreamed up to make a point. But it's as real as you are, and in some ways your oldest friend. Let's see if you recognize him or her. The pygmy is the living past in you. You probably thought the past had gone like yesterday. But it hasn't. Not the past that caused you any emotional pain. That past lives on in you now as the pygmy. It consists of every disappointment since you were a child, every secret hurt, unfulfilled expectation, every unfounded assumption about life and living that wounded you. In other words, the pygmy is the lie or compromise you have allowed yourself to live, or were forced to live, when the truth of that emotional moment or situation should have been found by you or explained to you. That small dark body of accumulated emotional energy, which has never been intelligently examined, your ignorance, is alive in you and doing very well, thank you, as the pygmy. The pygmy is responsible for all your negative moods, fears, doubts, depression and unhappiness. He is your false self. The pygmy is also the glutton in you. If you want to meet him or her, then observe yourself the next time you are greedy for food, sex, drink, recognition, love, respect, anything. Try pulling back from your greed or walking away, and you'll soon feel the pygmy's fury. He'll quickly justify your appetite and debunk what I'm saying now as nonsense. But after he's had his fill, that is, after the particular moment of truth is past and you are left despondent and disliking yourself, you will know that what I'm saying is true. You cannot deceive yourself. You know when you've failed yourself, when the pygmy has won. The deceit is in choosing to ignore your real self, the intelligence in you who sees the truth. It is the pygmy that wants the last word in an argument and justifies that need. It is the pygmy that fantasizes about sex, using your memory to do so. It is the pygmy that wallows in thinking about grievances, insults and revenge, again using your memory. The pygmy lives in the memory, and it is he that does all your thinking about the past, the good times and the bad. Stop thinking, and he's practically homeless. The pygmy thrives on emotional excitement, good or bad. And he doesn't care about consequences. After he's indulged himself in the world, he leaves you to clean up the mess and to cope with the inner traumas. You might have noticed. Mastering the pygmy is a continuous exercise, a battle, which in the end you have to win. But when you fail in an encounter with him, don't despair. Before long, you'll have another opportunity to observe the way he uses you, and to withdraw from him if you can. The pygmy can't indulge himself without you. He has no physical body, only an emotional one, and no memory of his own, so he uses yours and feeds off you. The pygmy doesn't like the idea of your entering yourself. He may go along with your meditation for a while, but when he finds you are really serious, he'll fight furiously to keep you from putting the spotlight of intelligence, your attention, on him. Have you felt any pains while you were meditating? A sudden headache, perhaps? Or an unusual restlessness or resentment towards me? That was the pygmy, fearful and threatening. He is the only real enemy. The meditation I have outlined here is the beginning of the end of him. Nevertheless, he is at his fiercest and meanest when cornered. He will play on every weakness, especially doubt. He will undermine your faith and confidence when you are in fact doing well. And if he can, he'll persuade you to give up meditation altogether. I trust you persevere. Start meditating now and hold the pygmy at bay. Sit erect, check your breathing, and gather yourself in while I give you one final word. No talk of truth or finding yourself is complete without love. Love is the final word. Meditation has to be accompanied by a growing awareness of love, because love is only a giving up of your old dead self. When you're sitting in silence and hear a bird singing, allow the sound to enter your stomach area. Connect with it. It is fresh with life and will help to put you in touch with the love of life, your true self within you. Also, you must endeavor to love more in the world. It is no longer enough for you to say you love someone or something. That allows you to regard love as a static, finished thing, whereas love is an intensely active, ceaseless state of being. So say or feel, "I love you," only finish the sentence, "But I must love you more." And in that active commitment, you will grow in love and life. I wish you well. In love, I am with you.